We're now joined by Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Greg, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
We were just talking about Jim Benning and some of the expectations on the Vancouver Canucks this year. Let's start with the extension, though, because kind of shocked us last Friday just based on where he was. It was a, you know, 1 year left on his contract, and a lot of people are saying it was a show-me year for him. Were you shocked, and does this extension make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, it is a shock, if only because you figured that this next season, from the outside looking in, like you said, was going to be a real make-or-break one for him insofar as is the team making forward progress. The playoffs, I don't think, was necessarily going to be the be-all, end-all for Jim Benning. It was just, you know, are we seeing this ship pointed in the right direction? So, you know, maybe the answer is that ownership thinks the ship's headed in the right direction and thinks that the consistency of having him, you know, behind the scenes leading the way is going to be ultimately the most beneficial thing for the franchise. The one thing I'll say is that, you know, I think we all agree that this team is obviously a few moves away, that there is a real solid foundation there of young talent. There still needs to be some moves with veteran guys that have to be made to really restructure the roster. And so maybe they're thinking, you know, and maybe Colorado is the best example of this right now. You weather the rough times with one guy, and then he's still your guy when things kind of turn around, and you haven't necessarily needed to hit the reset button, and that's going to be beneficial for the rest of the franchise. It's one theory, it's one outlook, it's one perspective. Is it the right one? I mean, that remains to be seen, and there isn't a whole lot that Jim Benning's done that gives you confidence that he's the guy to do it.
Greg, you mentioned that there are still big moves left to be made with this team. Having said that, they definitely improved during the summer. And from my perspective, I look at the team and the rest of the Western Conference, and I think they should be battling for a playoff spot. Is that a reasonable goal for this team coming up this year?
I think it's a reasonable goal. I mean, it's a tough conference. And obviously there are some teams that are a bit more of a question mark that could be around the bubble than others. You know, I think we're all waiting to see exactly what kind of impact, say, the Phil Kessel trade has in with Arizona, who all of a sudden is a cap team, which is kind of hilarious. What is Edmonton going to look like this year under Tippett? You know, there's a number of teams that could go either way. They're going to be kind of in the hunt for the bubble. But, you know, based on what's on the roster and based on what we saw last year and based on the assumed progression of the young players that are going to be, you know, real keys for the Canucks this year, one assumes that they're going to be in the wild card hunt. And if they're not, then you're wondering, well, now what do you do? Because you just signed the GM to an extension.
Yeah, not only that, you've also dealt away a first-round pick over the next couple of years as well. So I know that –
He said he's getting it back at the trade deadline.
Okay.
That's what Jim Benning's telling us, right? So
yeah,
I think the man at his word.
And immediately we started going through the roster saying, which one of these players can actually garner a first-round pick? And that's kind of the exercise we started doing in Vancouver yesterday.
I mean, the answer is JT Miller.
And I mean, Jim Benning does not exactly have the best track record of going out and bringing in draft picks for veteran players. So that one raised some eyebrows around here for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. And look, I don't mind the Miller move. I mean, obviously, I think it's a bit of an overpayment, especially considering the situation that Tampa Bay was in. But I think he's a guy that can help. They've got the one thing I mean, there's two things I really love about the Canucks, which is one, obviously the bevy of young talents they have to build around, which I think, you know, there's teams around the league that should be quite envious of that. But two is they've got some versatility in their forward group that I kind of like. Miller is a guy that can play in a number of different, you know, places in the lineup. I didn't love him as a top tier guy with Tampa. He seemed like he was a little miscast, but he's a good contributor. I covered him a lot in New York, and I always liked his game a bit. So while the payment might have been an overpayment, he's definitely a guy that can help.
And he's certainly a player that likes to play that way that Travis Green wants his team. You know, guys that are not perimeter players. JT Miller is a player that has size. He can play that way that Travis Green likes. You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. And Greg, the big story today is all eyes on Minnesota. So they get rid of Paul Fenton last week. And now Bill Guerin goes there. What kind of job does he have ahead there? Because you look at that roster and you're kind of like, meh. Like, they're not terrible, but they can't really do anything in the Central, can they?
Well, let's start with the biggest news today. If you haven't seen it, get to Twitter, go to the Minnesota Wild page, and look at the photograph they use of Bill Guerin to announce his signing as the new general manager.
True. I stand corrected.
It's got to be the worst photo the man has ever taken. He looks like Jackie Gleason on a bender. I don't even know how they found that photo, but they found it. And you know, whatever it said in the press release, it was immediately forgotten by the state of that photo. It's incredible. As far as, you know, first off, him getting hired is interesting because you figured the reaction that they were going to have to the Paul Fenton disaster was that they were going to hire a general manager with previous NHL general managing experience, which Guerin doesn't have. He general managed their AHL franchise for 2 years, which is a, you know, solid experience and a good job, but it's not the big chair. So it was a little bit interesting to see them not react to the Fenton firing by going to a retread like Peter Chiarelli or Ron Hextall. But what's apparent is that Guerin really made an impression on him in the last 2 years. I mean, he was a runner-up to Fenton when he got hired. This time he had a few interviews. He is the antithesis personality-wise to what Fenton brought to that job. And by that I mean one of the things that owner Craig Leopold talked about when he fired Fenton was this is a guy that didn't have the chops to be a motivator, to be a guy who, you know, talks to different departments and brings people together. And Guerin, if nothing else, is a real charismatic guy and a real outward personality and, you know, night and day with probably what Paul Fenton was doing behind the scenes. I think he's smart. I think he's learned under some really good hockey men in Ray Shiro and now Jim Rutherford. I think he's been prepped for this job. I just think that it's real heavy lifting for whoever was going to take it because this is a team that right now I think is just in that sort of neverland between, you know, needing to rebuild and having veteran guys in that roster that you can't get rid of. So, I mean, I think he's a real good choice. He's been waiting in the wings for a while, but that Wild situation is a really tough one to parse.
And, you know, Greg, as you said with Minnesota Wild, they're in a really tricky situation in terms of their roster and on the ice, but we all read the stories about the dysfunction under the Fenton regime in Minnesota. Now, you probably solve a lot of that just by getting rid of Fenton, but is job one for Guerin, does it come off the ice and just trying to establish a more functional, less toxic culture in Minnesota?
Sure, and I think he's going to have an easy time of it because when you're dealing with a veteran team and you're a guy that, I mean, what did he play? Like, you know, he's within the last decade, he was still in the NHL, I think. That's going to make it a lot easier. He's going to have a real one-of-the-boys kind of relationship with the Zach Parises and Ryan Suters of the world. Which is important, and I think it's going to come pretty easy to him. What's interesting about Minnesota is if you look into their numbers analytically, they're not a bad team. I mean, they're not a good team, but they're not a bad team. They did some things last year that were pretty good. They had some parts of the team that really let them down injury-wise. Obviously, goaltending wasn't great. But they do have, you know, for my money, maybe a top three coach in the NHL and Bruce Boudreau, at least in the regular season, who now has survived his third general manager in that job, which is insane. There's something there. I don't really think it's championship quality, but I also don't think that they're going to be garbage. I think they just need to fix a few things and get some performances out of guys they didn't get last year. And again, you know, not have a guy in the general manager's chair that's going to be trading Nino Niederreiter for Victor Rask. That's kind of an important thing too.
In regards to that picture, though, it's totally on brand. He looks like a Wild man. He's the GM of the Wild now. That's totally. They probably said, "Let's get the most weird picture where we can get and get to. It can be on brand for him." So it was a bad one. It was probably one of the worst we've ever seen. Looking across the NHL, finally some signings. I know the Colin White one is not going to get huge headlines, but it does kind of set that market for the second tier of RFAs where, you know, guys like Travis Konecny and maybe Kevin Fiala can start coming off the board. When it comes to the top tier, this whole flirtation with the Zurich Lions from Mitch Marner, I don't see, like, it's, you can see through this immediately as far as it's a posturing, you know, it's a ploy here, but could it in any which way be serious? Or is he just doing the same thing William Nylander did last year?
Yeah, he's doing what Willie did. He's doing what every guy who ever threatened to go to the KHL did. I mean, it's a tactic that's been used through the years time and time again to threaten to play overseas. But I know that every, you know, sponsorship deal that Mitch Marner has signed in Toronto for the last couple of years, they're not paying him that money to go play in Zurich. You know, they're playing that money to play in the National Hockey League. And all that Kyle Dubas should really care about right now is, you know, the amount of money that it's going to take to get Mitch Marner under contract, or, you know, whether or not he's going to be playing for another NHL team next year. If he's not, then, hey, do what you need to do. And if you know, eventually we're going to work this thing out. It's a you know, negotiating dance. We've seen it before. I'm not particularly concerned with it. I do find it interesting, though, the more people I talk to behind the scenes on the executive level in the NHL with these teams, the more they seem to be all trying to frame whatever Marner ends up getting as being like a Draisaitl contract, being something that's going to be treated by the teams like an outlier, rather than being something that sets the market. It's kind of like they try to put aside these overpayments and say, well, that's the player in that team in that situation. You know, it's not what the market actually is. And it'll be interesting to see if some of these guys that I've talked to, if their teams could actually accomplish that, like the Draisaitl contract has sort of been ostracized by these guys.
So, Greg, we're entering the final year of the CBA in the NHL, and we're seeing players not only demand more on their RFA deals, on their second contracts, but also start to get more, start to hold out longer. It's really been a change from how we've seen things go in the past. Do you expect the RFA system to be up for negotiation and potentially subject to big changes in the next round of CBA talks?
I mean, only if the owners want it. I mean, the changes to the free agent system are you know, massive givebacks by the owners if the players want to change the system and put it more in their favor. And they don't have a whole lot of leverage on their side of the equation right now to begin with to win things back, like, you know, a more friendly escrow percentage or, you know, the Olympics and things like that. So it'll only change if it's a situation where the owners and GMs are just kind of like, well, the system's broken. It's not doing us any good. We need to change it, because otherwise I think it's probably going to be status quo. And honestly, like, this summer was sort of an anomaly. I mean, it's really gummed up right now because you have so many players that are all waiting for maybe like three guys to sign before they know what their market value is. And those three guys are Marner in theory, definitely Braden Point. I've heard that from multiple people that the Point contract's going to set up a lot of other guys to figure out what they're going to do, whether it's a bridge deal or whatever. And then on the defense side, you know, Charlie McAvoy's contract is going to set the market for Provorov and set the market for Werenski. So, you know, we're waiting for those guys to sign, and once they do, the floodgates will open.
Yeah, at least we got some activity today with Colin White and Derek Brassard signing. So hopefully the big fish start to sign eventually as well. Greg Wyshynski, thanks very much for joining us today. And go back and look at that Bill Guerin picture one more time. That's just so unsettling.
He's very wet. I don't know why he's so wet, but he's just very wet in the picture.
Yeah, there's a lot of shine on his face for whatever reason. Thanks very much, Greg. Appreciate it.